So, brothers, we're a couple of weeks now nearly into 2022. It was, I've been speaking to quite a few people when I consider those that I've met personally and those that have been texting me and talking to on the phone as well. And one thing that has occurred to me is that even though we're only less than 2 weeks into the new year, that there are people already, this is not a criticism by any means, but people who are finding the going quite difficult at the moment and are discouraged. And there are others who feel that they're maybe being crushed and they have not started the new year in victory. Sometimes that victory has been due to circumstances beyond their control, and sometimes the lack of victory has been because of negligence. And I'm thinking of one person who I would sometimes text and say Happy New Year to. And that person lives on the mainland now, and I used to text him quite often, but one time they made it very clear to me that while they appreciated the texts and appreciated talking to me, and this fellow was always and still is quite open about how things are, he said, "You always remind me of how things used to be for me." Now, I took that as a compliment, but he said, "You always remind me of how things used to be for me," and I'm not going into any details about who or when or why or wherefore, but suffice to say that he's not on victory ground, and he certainly has known his struggles, some of them outside his control, many of them of his own making, and therefore he is not on victory ground tonight. But whatever, however you find yourself, folks, tonight, I will get back, and don't worry, I'll get back to the commandments and to the Sermon on the Mount, to on Sunday mornings. We'll get back to that before too long, but I want to bring your attention to this passage tonight. You will see there in the first verse of chapter 3 that we read, and also in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12, you will see the word consider. And I was thinking about that, and thinking about obviously the congregation and friends outside the congregation, and that person that I mentioned to you as well, and thinking of the vital importance of this wee word, consider. To consider him. So both in chapter 3 and here in verse 12, it is about considering the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word consider here, when you look it up, I didn't know this initially, I had to look it up, it does mean to compare things in their due proportion. That's true. But it means to be absolutely and fully and totally occupied with something. Someone had a very interesting comment to make on this word consider that is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ here. They talked about fishing with a fly, and how when you cast the fly out on the lake or the river and it's floating there, there's a hook in it, of course, but you must be totally focused on it. And if you don't, if you turn away and start looking in your lunchbox or something, you turn around, the trout could have taken the fly, spit it out again, and you haven't set the hook. And I actually knew that. I had a smile when I read that, because once on Auburn a few years ago, I was out angling with a friend. Now, he's 77 or 78, but he's still angling away and all the very best and doing the best he can at that. But he and I are quite good friends. And I was out fishing with him, and I've never told him this. He's one of very few people that I have met that can talk from early morning to the end of the night without stopping. He just never stopped talking. Yeah, he told me one time, he says, "I'm just going to talk to you about one more thing before, and then I'll give you a headpiece." But he didn't, because when he told me one more thing, he thought of something else. One day he was talking to me that much, and I turned around to listen to him. And then he says, "All right." And I looked around, and the fish had taken the fly and spit it out. And that happened, and it got away because I was not occupied. If you know what I'm talking about, fly fishing, you must be completely focused on and occupied with the fly. And that is the meaning of the word consider concerning the Lord Jesus Christ here in Hebrews chapter 12 and in Hebrews chapter 3. And it's very important that we consider him, because the end of that verse says, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. The word faint, or I mentioned it to you before, it has the meaning of letting out rope as you would. You're trying to hold a rope and something was put in against you and the rope is slowly coming out of your hand. But it also has the meaning of backing away. Backing away. So lest you become weary and faint in your minds, in other words, you back away. The reference here to our minds is a reminder that our thoughts in some ways govern us. And what we think affects what we do. The thought here is of being totally occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. The same type of meaning is conveyed in the word looking at the beginning of verse 2, where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But, and I mean this tonight, and I trust you know that, I trust that you will know much victory, and I will too, in 2022, and that the Lord has given you an encouraging start, I hope, answering prayer for you in some way, and that it will be a year of knowing his blessing in victory. So I want tonight to look with you just for a few more minutes at the title of the message is Occupy, Not Overcome. Occupy, Not Overcome. And as I said, we all have different needs, and there are things that come your way that might have come my way and the other way around and so on. But we can find ourselves, first of all, we can find ourselves in dismay at situations. Find yourselves in dismay at situations. Something is there that troubles or depresses your mind and upsets you and perhaps takes you out of your normal way of thinking. And the situation then has you in dismay. Talking to one man just today in the text, and while I wasn't talking to him about this today, he is a man, and I know that whenever he was younger in business, he was fiddled by a couple of characters a couple of times. But he did learn from that, of course, but unfortunately, it also took his attention from the Lord. And in his mind, there's that suspicion now, almost, that you must just trust no one. And I mean that, that's really the main thing. You must trust no one, but you rather must just think of yourself. And hence, of course, there has been that losing out. He's isolated and lonely sometimes. And certainly this is something that's very real. Dismay at situations. We like a comfortable, easygoing situations. Maybe someone who you knew has changed, or maybe they have, maybe they have lied to you or whatever, and things like that, circumstances, situations like that have brought you into dismay. And when I say dismay is not very far away from self-pity, from feeling sorry for ourselves, and that is always a danger. Over there in the book of Judges in chapter 6, you have there Gideon. He's now down at the threshing floor. He's threshing the wheat, the wine press, I should say. And the Lord has come along to him, and he calls him a mighty man of valor. The Lord is with thee. That's a wonderful thing for you and I to remember, that the Lord is with us. But Gideon didn't take it well when the Lord said to him, God said to him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. It says in verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us, and where be all the miracles that our fathers told us of? Here's a man who is he's dismayed. His people had known good days, but they weren't enjoying good days now. And the Lord comes along to him to try to encourage him, but before the end of verse 13, he says, now the Lord hath forsaken us. Here is the language of a defeated man. Gideon was a defeated man in verse 13 of Judges chapter 6. And he was confused. He certainly was recognizing that there was a problem here. But folks, his eyes were shut to the obvious reason for why things were the way they were. It was sin in the land. But for that reason that the Lord had allowed the Midianites to prevail as well as they had. And here was a man and he was totally down in dismay. And folks, when you look around you in your own circumstances or in Northern Ireland today in general, you could find yourself dismayed. And would it not be fair to say that at some times when you look at the situation in Ulster that all of us have felt, why then has all this befallen us? Where are all the miracles? Where's the great days of full prayer meetings and souls being saved every week and then a great hunger for the Word of God and a love for fellowship and a great righteousness in the country and observing of the Lord's Day? Why are all these things not there anymore? Did you ever feel, has the Lord forsaken us? I'm not going to be too critical of Gideon, because this is a very real thing, this dismay at situations. But you know, in this situation here, Gideon, it says there in verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him. Now, there's more weight to those words than just glancing at him, because that had already been happening. And it says, the Lord looked upon him. Do you know the New Testament where the Lord looked at Peter? And that made the difference. When Peter wasn't, he was downcast, he was far away, he denied the Lord, he was full of bitterness, and then it said that the Lord looked at Peter. Well, the Lord looked here upon Gideon. And God can deal with their hearts in a way that no one asked him. And said, go in this thy might. Now, he may have got irritated there and said, didn't I just tell you, Lord, that if the Lord was with us, why is all this befallen us? But the Lord says, now, go in this thy might. But he says at the end of the verse 14, have not I sent thee? Have not I sent thee? And in verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Now, when the Lord looked upon Gideon in verse 14, that Gideon looked upon the Lord too. He had second thoughts about his bitterness in verse 13. Yes, he does try to make some excuses in verse 15. My family is poor, I am the least. But it's a totally different tone from the one in verse 13. The Lord looked upon him. And I believe that he looked upon the Lord. And brethren and sisters, we are to consider him, to look to him, to focus upon him, to be occupying with him. And that will help us all so much in all of our various circumstances. We can occupy ourselves with him. It's not only dismay at circumstances, but here's another, and I looked at my own heart when I thought of this, a desiring to be somebody. Paul acknowledged that he was nobody, and that Apollos was nobody either. Now, one sowed and another watered, but it was God that gave the increase. But pride is something that can rise up in any of our hearts. Yeah, if you know the history of Billy Sunday, history records that Billy Sunday, they reckon he was a man who used to fight, he was a boxer and then he became a Christian, and they reckon that Billy Sunday, in his evangelism, won a million souls to Christ. But if you read the some of the biographies of Billy Sunday, and it was near the latter part of his ministry too, he had a great difficulty with pride. And dealing with pride. And he didn't deal with it well sometimes. And pride is something that can rise up in any of our hearts. And it causes all kinds of problems. We certainly recognize that we have something to do, but we're just instruments. Just instruments in the hand of the Lord. I think I used it one time in the beginning of a message to say that we had George Whitfield, and the Wesley brothers in England, and we had Knox in Scotland, and named some others, Parker during the time of Joseph Parker during the time of Spurgeon, and all these men who were used in a special way of the Lord. But the one thing they all have in common is that they're all dead. Because they were only instruments, you say, in the hand of the Lord. And these men, in their own struggles, recognized the danger of pride. And I can show you what it says there in Matthew chapter 20. Again, I'm speaking from my own heart, first of all, here. Matthew 20, and in verse 20. Yes, this is the passage where the two boys are brought along. Verse 21. And he said unto her, this is the mother of Zebedee's children, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. You and I think that's a remarkable request. How could she? But she did. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. There's an attitude problem here that had to be resolved by the Lord. But I want to move right on down to what it says there in verse 26. It says, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. It says, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. That was the end of the story, as far as that was concerned. But if you think of what was going on here with the mother, when she come to Jesus, and she said, that one sit, one on each in your right hand and one on your left, in thy kingdom. Right. Foolish pride. And it's something that I have to fight with, and I'm not suggesting you do, but you might have to fight with them as well, and recognizing there's a very real enemy. It's in the Bible. It's a word that's found in the Bible time and time again. So the answer is, again, looking at him, focusing on him. Think of his example, who made himself of no reputation, but humbled himself. There were so many people who were so much happier that would do that. Just humble themselves before the Lord and recognize that they're just like me, nobody. Just an instrument in the hand of the Lord. So you can see now the importance here of occupation with him. There is the design to be somebody that's a danger, but I want to turn right around and look at the other side. And that is the despising of self. And while, brothers and sisters, you and I are just instruments in the hand of the Lord, we don't despise self. The Lord has saved us. He's made us princes, and he has taken us out of our sin, and he's given us something to do for him. So there's no reason at all why you should suffer from what you might call an inferiority complex. Or feel that we're absolutely can do nothing, and to go about miserable and defeated all of the time. Yes, we're insufficient and inadequate of ourselves, but as we mentioned on Sunday, in good times we know much grace, in the hard times we know sufficient grace, whenever we are serving the Lord. So don't despise yourself at all, Christian, but continue looking to him. And if you look there in Hebrews where we were, in Hebrews chapter 12, there's various details there that help us to do that, and lay aside every weight. The word lay aside there in verse 1 meaning to put something away from you. It is, in the old language, it refers to casting something away, and that is lay aside every weight. Now, the weights can be legendary. There's so many weights that can hold us back, but I think pride is one of them. And I think feeling inferior is another one, on the other, totally the other side. Pride on one hand, thinking we can do everything, and then despising ourselves on the other hand, thinking that we can do nothing. We want to consider him. Remember the verse 3 at the bottom, lest you become faint, weighed and faint in your minds. Losing him, don't want that to happen. So we must continue looking Remember, occupation, occupying, not occupied, not overcome. So there is here the despising of self. We want to stay away from that. And if someone says something to discourage you in what you're doing for the Lord, but you keep doing it anyway. And keep looking to the Lord. But the final thought is this. There is the doubting of sovereignty. There are people who are older than me and older than most of you as well. In fact, older than all of you. And they've been praying for a very long time for a change in the United Kingdom, and it hasn't happened. A better time, I mean, for believers, a better time hasn't happened. When we were over in Chester a few years ago, we went to Holywell Evangelical Church. We knew about the man who was there. We knew it was a faithful church. And some of the believers there, they've been there forever. They've been there from the year dot, and they had labored faithfully, and they tried to open up a little Sunday school, and they've been well known in the area. Tried to open up a Sunday school on a Sunday afternoon in an area with some children there, and the locals actually damaged their cars so that they wouldn't come back. Some of them, there was one wee woman came in. I think I told David about this one day. She came in a wee red car, and she went in, and she was sitting there listening to every word. And someone said to us, said, she never misses. She was 90 there. So she's been there a long time, praying for a long time for better days, and folks have been declining and diminishing interest and more hardness as time goes on. And when that happens, it can affect our thinking. And we think, well, if God is sovereign and he's building his church, what's happening? Why is this happening? Why is people not listening? Why are even you might say, why is a believer in a position, and there are some on the mainland, a position of authority, why are they not saying anything when it comes to things that we don't like that are happening? And all of these things connect, saying, well, God is sovereign. Well, remember this, that God is sovereign, and he's working out his own purpose in his own time, in accordance with his own will, and no death in hell or devil will ever change that. All things will work together for good for those of us who love God, but you can be dead sure that he is still building his church. And we may be going through a time now when in the United Kingdom tide is out, but it can come in again. It can come in again. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the context is of serving him. And it is about being set up to serve him, laying aside every weight, looking on to the Lord there, remembering what he has done for us, and also seeing sin for what it is when it comes, tempting you. Verse 4, it says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And there's not a person here in the room who doesn't want to see a better day, and doesn't want to see the Lord moving in a most remarkable way. But folks, we're in the right place tonight, and we're getting down to prayer now in a few minutes. We're in the right place to look to him, to be occupying with him. Over there in Luke chapter 2 and verse 47, it says, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He was dealing here with the doctors and the law and so on, and some of them thought he knew everything, but realized now that they maybe he knew more than them. Verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have, that was Joseph, have sought thee sorrowing. Remember that he wasn't with them, and they turned back to Luke for him. Verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist or know ye not that I must be about my father's business? And that was the work of his life, and folks, that is the work of the church still to today, to be about the Lord's business. And whatever way we've entered 2022, maybe you're on the mountain top and you don't have any worries, I doubt it, because I think all of us have some concerns, but do not be overcome, but rather be occupied by considering him, by looking to him, by focusing on him. Remember the fly down on top of the water? Take your eye off it, and the trout takes it and spits it out again the time you look back. If you keep focusing and looking at him, and I do trust as the Lord, as we do that, that the Lord will help us. If you read there in 2 Corinthians 3, the thought is of the Holy Spirit dealing with us and helping us and transforming us as we continually look to him. Trust the Lord.